Welcome to the CFB Dynasty Podcast with hosts Matt Knowles, Brian McElfrish, and Doug Gravely.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? It's the CFBDynasty.com podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the first mock drafts for 2024 that Brian and Doug were a part of. BMAC, Doug, how are you guys doing today? How are you feeling today on this fine, fine Friday?
Excited. I mean, spring ball is coming, or is happening, and that's great. We're getting a little bit of hype videos out there. And just getting ready to watch some spring games, get some action. Of course, I'll make my way over to the swamp for our Gator spring game. And, you know, hopefully they'll do well today in March Madness in round one. We'll see.
Yeah, man.
What about you, Doug?
It is a fine Friday indeed. Kind of glad to be inside at the moment because it's a little gloomy outside, but it's super chipper in here. I'm happy to be with you guys. Yeah, man, it's been a good day. Ready for some football, basketball, whatever anybody wants to watch today, because there are definitely some spring games coming up again, I think, today. So,
well, and as everybody that's out there listening knows, this podcast is about all things college football. So when you tune in, the very first thing we're going to talk about is basketball and March Madness. All right. So as you guys can see right behind me, I've lit it red because NC State pulled off the upset yesterday. My boys, BMAC, Doug, how you guys feeling about March Madness? We have a CFB Dynasty pool. We have 40 different people in this thing. And right now, Team InSim is dominating. Currently, out of 40 people, we are in positions 1 and 2. I've got 14 out of 16 right. Steph from Team InSim is in second place. But both BMAC and Doug are nipping at the heels. You guys are right there in what, tied for fourth?
Like
how you guys,
we're right
how
there.
How you guys feeling about your prospects for today? Do you guys think you're going to take over that number one spot at the end of the first round?
I have a feeling my Sweet 16 teams are all going to be alive after today. I'm calling it right now.
Me too. What about you, BMAC?
Yeah, I feel good. I was, you know, mostly conservative, had the Duquesne hit, but I've got Duquesne going to the Sweet 16. We'll see if they can pull that off against Illinois tomorrow. But yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, Gators play today, and we'll see how they do without the center. Andrew Katz, who's in one of these mocks that we'll talk about today, he's up there in the March Madness pool as well. We got a good group of people here. We'll see how it goes. We'll see who places in the top, whatever, few. $100 to the winner. And I look forward to following it up. Like, this is a super fun weekend, always.
Oh, yeah. Super fun. And the thing that's cool about that that CFB Dynasty group is if you look at that, there's names from the past. I mean, BMAC, there's guys that we played touch football with back when you were in middle school, you know, you were in high school, guys from back in the day, you know, Jeremy Field. We're all like, who's Jeremy Field? Jeremy Field, if you're listening to this, let us know. Are you somebody that just came in from the Discord? Are you somebody that was in the CFB Dynasty Open League under a different name? But he is also somebody that's tied for second. So it's super cool to see this big mix of people from all walks of life. My daughter and her boyfriend are in this thing with us as well, being able to all come in and be a part of this thing. It's great. So before we get to football, real quick, one quick thing for you guys. We talked about the Samford-Kansas game last night, the very questionable call at the very end. Do you guys think that there's any chance, any reason to have a coach's challenge in college basketball over a call that is so egregiously bad that it could change the game? BMAC, Doug, what do you think?
I'd say yes, but basketball is so different from football, and the fact that that could be like a still a live action play. Like, they could have called the foul. What if he like blocked it off the backboard? I think there's other in basketball. It's just other things to consider. It's not just whatever 4 to 6 seconds of a single play, and then the play is over. When it's constant action, who do you give the ball to if someone doesn't pick it up after the foul call? Like, that kind of thing is a little bit more difficult.
What about you, Doug? You have any thoughts on that?
Nope. No thoughts for me on basketball. You know, I pretty much threw this bracket together hoping to do well, and I can't even tell you players on 99% of these teams. So,
well, one guy you're going to know is DJ Burns. They have said DJ Burns, when you guard him, he's like a dump truck that is backing up and you're trying to stop it. That's the guy, the mayor of Raleigh, North Carolina. Remember that name.
I probably won't remember that name, but we do know names of like third string running backs for like
we do.
FAU.
We do.
And that's why you guys have tuned in, because you know that the knowledge of college football teams runs deep on this podcast. And that's what we're going to get into right now. There's been two different mock draft that BMAC and Doug participated in one. BMAC participated in the other. Two very different mock drafts. One of them is a 12-team standard mock. The other is a 12-team two-quarterback best ball. When we get to the two-quarterback best ball, we'll have some other questions. But first, let's just go and take a quick look at that 12-team regular mock. And BMAC, if you want to call out any of the people that are in this draft, let them know how this mock draft came about. And then we'll go to the actual positions and picks from there.
Yeah, man. Our buddy Jared, CFF Jared, everyone in the industry knows Jared. He, Georgia guy, Georgia fan. So, whatever. But, yeah, he invited us in and love hopping in mock drafts with him, and all the names of the guys are there. Handles on Twitter, or are supposed to be their handles on Twitter. So you can grab those over there. Like all of these first two mock drafts and everyone will be a part of in the future will be posted under draft prep. Then you just click on mock drafts and you'll see them there. So if we go through the first two rounds and you don't know like where this guy went or that guy went, you can just pop on one of these pages. We got the full draft there posted for you to kind of peruse. And it's just important to kind of see where, because value is important. That's why we do mock drafts, is to see kind of where people are falling average draft position wise, knowing that you can get this guy in round six. He's got a high probability of being there, or that guy, blah, blah, blah. So everybody goes into the draft with, you know, players they want. We provide rankings, but it's not like, you know, you follow it to a T. Like you have guys that you like. We all have guys that we want. You know, the Fantasy Footballers podcast calls them my guys. Like you just have guys that you're drawn to that you want to go get. And that's just part of the fun of fantasy too. So seeing where they're going to go, strategizing about like when you can pick them, or if you really want them, maybe you draft them a little early, that kind of thing. So,
BMAC, is this content that is going to be freely available on the site, or is this subscriber content the season draws near?
Yeah, this is free and out there, and we'll continue to post free ones. We'll also do some with guys in the Discord, and so we'll get that rolling along, I hope, soon. Again, I'm bad, admittedly bad at Discord and running the Discord, so getting engagement going on there is what we need to have happen, but we'll definitely interact and have drafts there just with our guys in the Discord very soon. And then we like to do other random ones. So, you know, maybe we'll do an SEC only one. Maybe we'll do an SEC Big Ten Notre Dame, whatever. Because that's the part of the fun of college fantasy football is there are so many different league setups. And, you know, we'll have different mock drafts to kind of see how deep a 12-round draft goes of just Big Ten players. There's some crazy leagues out there, and I know that.
All right, so we'll get right down to it. So BMAC on the screen has got the first couple of rounds pulled up. So right there at number one, you talked about my guys. One of my guys right there at the top, the very Indeed. First pick, my master PJ, was Ashton Gentry from Boise State. I love those first few picks as far as who's there name-wise. At the end of the season, you had Ashton Gentry, Ollie Gordon, Omarion Hampton, all were just crushing it. So seeing them all at the top is something I really like.
Yeah, and you know, we've got our rankings up. We've got like our teaser rankings up that everyone can see, and then you can log in to view the full rankings. We've got this link on a lot of the stuff we've been producing lately to where you can go into Draft Central and see the rankings that we have. We have not yet, I know we talked about it on the last show, we haven't yet put the actual projections yet, but Genty is like far and away number one at running back in terms of, you know, data-based fantasy point projection. Although Ollie Gordon is right there consistently at RB2, like there's a gap there, which I don't know 100% if it should be there or not. Like Oklahoma State, I believe, returns their all five starters on the O-line, and Gordon's a proven guy, proven commodity there in fantasy. So those two guys, we've seen one and two in every mock draft that I've been a part of, other than the other one that we'll talk about next. And even ones that I've read about and haven't been a part of. Like, it's been Genty 1, Ollie Gordon 2. No surprise there.
So, Doug, what do you think about at quarterback, at the third pick in a 12-team, one quarterback league is Caden Salter from Liberty. What do you think about him being so high up the list?
So, Salter is, if you guys remember going over the rankings, he's high on our list in the rankings. But it's like BMX said, you know, previously, it's about value. And I think a lot of times you're trying to get a guy that is going to stand out or build up a little bit of a gap between the rest of the guys. We've got, you know, Salter, Gabriel, and Byron Brown kind of really, really close in the points. You know what I mean? So, and any one of them could legitimately take over the number one quarterback spot at the end of the year. But I think a lot of times in these drafts, and I've fallen victim of it, is not finding the best value for that pick. I don't know if I would have taken Salter as my number one quarterback. I don't know if I would have taken him at number three. I mean, he does provide, you know, produce value there at that pick. But again, I think you're trying to find somebody at three that's going to set you apart. So my thought at three would have been going with the potentially the number one receiver overall to try to build a little bit of a gap.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. A receiver, like the hard part is taking another player at that same position of running back third when there seemingly is a clear drop off there. It's a clear two player tier at the top with Genty and Gordon, even like I said, with a gap between them a little bit. But you got Amarian Hampton that goes running back three at the fourth pick right after Salter. And then you've got switch. You can poke holes in him. Like, okay, Drake May is gone off to the NFL. How good is that offense going to be with some losses along the O-line there? Maybe the running back – or sorry, the new quarterback will run a little bit more and kind of steal some red zone touches or touchdowns from Hampton.
And UNC's also got a much deeper running back core as well that you might be able to see other running backs steal some stuff from him. Omarion Hampton was the hot guy at the end of the season last year. Maybe somebody else comes in and gets hot and takes some of that, which you probably aren't going to see as much with Genty at Boise.
Yeah, And Darius Taylor, awesome. Love Darius Taylor at Minnesota. I think he's way up there on our rankings. But you can poke a hole, too, where you want to see him finish the season without getting hurt. And we'll see. But I think the drop off there makes that third pick really difficult. I agree. You go. I would not hate on the Salter pick at all. Like, I think Salter's going to be great returning there. And then you've also got top wide receivers to go at after. But who would you say is your top receiver, Doug? I see Tet McMillan goes fifth there as the first receiver off the board. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it's going to be super close between him and Horton, honestly. But I think McMillan, to me, what he did last year, the quarterback is back. Their connection was insane. He's not going to have Cowing fighting for catches. Yeah. I think McMillan is potentially going to be wide receiver one.
This would be a great clip for us to like cut up and push out to everyone.
Yeah, to make that into a meme right there.
You guys can show how organized my brain is sometimes, but it's that Friday brain. But yeah, man, I think he's going to be far and away wide receiver one. And it could be by a pretty big margin, honestly.
I think the one thing that, you know, this is not about Tet McMillan, but I think the one thing that we want to make sure people know out there is this is a 12-team draft that is a snake draft. We do some drafts that are going to be a standard 1 through 12, 1 through 12. So the person who picked at number 3 that took the QB, it's going to be interesting when we come back around to see what they picked at the end of the second round to kind of go along with that quarterback. Maybe there was some strategy there as well. So always keep that in mind too, because you might not want that person at a specific pick, but you might not pick again for 20. So you might have to reach because you might not have that position available to you 20 picks later.
So Darius Taylor goes next as the fourth running back off the board at 6. Now he was hurt a lot of the year, like played one game in October and he was kind of like not quite ready. And like re-injured himself and then didn't play again till the bowl game. But the first 3 games of the year, now this is also not against the best defenses. And you're dealing with Minnesota here. So there's a little bit of a cloud of doubt in terms of how this will scan across a full season. But he goes for 33 carries against Eastern Michigan, 193 yards and a touchdown. Then against UNC in a loss, 138 yards and a touchdown. And then at Northwestern in a loss, 198 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then finally healthy again in the bowl game against Bowling Green, 35 carries, 208 yards and a touchdown. So if you can get that kind of production and stay healthy, those kind of touches and stay healthy, Darius Taylor's a great pick there at 6. And then RJ Harvey, the fifth running back off the board, goes number 7, 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns on the ground, another 19 catches and 2 touchdowns through the air in a UCF offense playing for, like, obviously Gus Malzahn, where his running back was always one of the most coveted guys when he was at Auburn and beyond that. But also, you think about UCF going into the Big 12. Well, the Big 12 is not quite as hard. Their over-under win total is, I think, 8.5 games. So not out of the question for him to have a similar season where he crushed it last year, 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns. So I like him there at the 7th pick as well.
All right, so B-Mac, you have your first pick. You have your first pick in this draft at number 8, and you decided to go with the second wide receiver on the board, Torrey Horton. What was your thought process in taking Horton, the second wide receiver on the board, instead of some of the guys that are listed right after him?
So I love the Horton pick. That's who I would pick again if I had a chance to redo it. He's just a proven commodity in college fantasy football, one of those like 18-year wide receivers. So he's playing against boys out there and just able to you know, produce. He's a future NFL, like probably round 4, round 3 at ceiling type of draft pick next year, or, you know, the year after this draft. So we'll see how that one goes, but I'm super comfortable with that pick. The other thing that really affected me going wide receiver is at that point, this was like late February, we only had running backs ranked. So I went with a known guy at receiver, knowing I had a deep list of running backs I could go after later on in the draft. But I like the Horton pick there and would absolutely do that again.
All right. At number 9, we had the QB2, which is Dylan Gabriel from Oregon. And I'm going to move right into the next pick, which is Doug's first pick. Doug went number 10 with RB6, Sed Baxter out of Texas. Doug, I'm going to ask you the same thing we just asked B-Mac. What was your reasoning behind going Sed Baxter there, and what made you decide on going RB6 there and not, say, QB3 or wide receiver 3 at that position?
So the QB that I wanted, I was convinced was going to fall to me in the second round because of how the draft was going. So I waited on QB. And I tend to believe, you know, and based off our rankings, that CJ Baxter could be the number 3 running back in fantasy this year. And I like him more, honestly, than people like a Darius Taylor right now. For simple reasons that Darius Taylor's team is kind of gone. His quarterback's gone. Bangora. Bangora just got, you know, or transferred to Minnesota as well, which gives Taylor competition, which he had last year a little bit in Evans, but Bangora is more proven. So I like the Cedric Baxter deal. I just like that offense at Texas. It's kind of a problem, like who's going to get the ball there. But I believe with them transferring to the SEC too, they're going to have to establish a solid run game. And I think Baxter's the guy. So I would take Baxter again. I mean, I will honestly say I was torn between him and Giddens in this pick. So.
All right. Yeah. So what you got, B-Mac?
I was just saying, I love the next pick, the next two picks, honestly, like Evan Stewart, Luther Burden, wide receiver 3 and 4. And I know you can take the next one, Matt, but those two guys have, you know, probably the two most talented wide receivers in the game. The two best NFL prospects would be those two guys, in my opinion. It's going to be interesting to see how the ball is spread around at Oregon with Gabriel. Also, their running backs are, you know, a little bit of a mystery how many touches they'll get out of the air, you know, with the different talent that you have at running back as compared to before. And then Burden, just a proven guy, like he could have easily been a top three pick, and he goes at number 12 there for Missouri. Love those two picks with Stewart and Burden back.
All right, so I'll take that first one in round two, but I also want to call out whole CFF. Because he's got the back-to-backs in the snake draft here and decided to go wide receiver. So before that person is going to get another pick, he's got two wide receivers. There's going to be 40 players off the board. He is hoping to be able to get a solid wide receiver core. Hopefully he can get a quarterback or running back that's going to be solid when he gets to the next you know, next break there on the snake. So he went with Luther Burden at 112, and then at 21 he went with my guy Kevin Concepcion from NC State. So Concepcion is an interesting case this year because you've got a veteran, solid quarterback in Grayson McCall coming in to hopefully be able to continue to get him the ball. They had one of the best portal classes, transfer classes coming in, so they had tons of talent come in at every position, skill position on the offense, and then they also had for NC State, a historic wide receiver class come in. So he is basically the one guy that is the consistent. So I think that even though he's got so much change happening around him at NC State, he's probably going to have his numbers boom because everybody that's the one guy that everybody knows is going to be there and going to be consistent. I really like that Concepcion pick there.
That's what you got out of him last year. The weird thing is all of his touchdowns, he had 10 touchdowns. They came in 5 games. He had 2 apiece in all of those 5 games. He never had a single touchdown game. So you were kind of either really happy or a little bit disappointed the rest of those games. He had a couple games where he disappeared against Louisville. You know, that was a 13-10 finish. One catch, 7 yards. And then later on in the season against Wake in a win, 3 catches, 19 yards. But other than those two games, he was really consistent, you know, getting a minimum of 5 catches and kind of frequently hitting that triple digit mark in the yards there. So
I think the thing for him that's going to be big is the two quarterbacks we had last year were much more run based with very, very questionable arm and accuracy. And I think that Grayson McCall being a true quarterback is going to help him out. But enough about him. Let's continue to move on. So B-Mac, Doug, why don't you take you know what? I'll take this pick 2-2. So we got UNLV, Ricky White. B-Mac, what do you think about Ricky White, wide receiver 6 there at the 14th pick?
UNLV receiver, he had 88 catches, 1,400 yards, 8 touchdowns last year. No reason to think he doesn't do that or better this year with his probability of getting more touchdowns is up. Like he's like clearly a go-to target, could be a top 3 receiver selected and just happens to be there at wide receiver six. So love the pick.
All right, and then we're going to roll back around. Doug, you said at your pick 10 that you felt like the quarterback you wanted was going to slip a little bit. You were going to be able to take somebody else at a different position first. We're here at pick 3, overall 15. You've got Byron Brown from South Florida. So talk about this quarterback that you wanted right here at that pick 15.
So this is a quarterback that, I mean, you guys know I have in our league too. Used a pickup on him. Man, he had over 200 carries last year. You know, shy of 1,000 yards, but 11 rushing touchdowns, over 3,000 passing yards, 26 touchdowns. And he gets his number one receiver back in Sean Atkins. Absolutely. And we have two quarterbacks right now that we have projected over 400 fantasy points, and he's one of them. I had a feeling that a string of receivers was going to go because, to me, the top running backs were gone. So receivers were next, and I went with my gut. I mean, I'm glad I did. I'm happy with the Byron Brown pick because he's one of those guys, I talked about it earlier, based off value and getting him in the second round, he has the potential to separate himself from most quarterbacks in fantasy this year just by his running ability. So I'm super stoked with getting him as my QB1. So.
All right, so BMAC, why don't you take it there, starting with pick 4, overall 16, Texas Tech.
Yeah, sure. So Taj Brooks, you know, great pick. No need to really get into it much there. Texas Tech is improving overall. Then I went with Jalen Royals at Utah State. His receiver on the opposite side of the field was also very productive. He's gone. So Royals, potential massive fantasy production this year at Utah State. And they do have a new quarterback, but I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but it is pretty sure it's a new quarterback. Anyways, Byron Brown goes, or his top wide receiver goes next, Sean Atkins at South Florida. And then we get into Maffa, who I'll let Doug talk about a bit. Doug likes Maffa a lot. I know a lot of people do. He had a solid game when Shipley got hurt. I think he got his second concussion and was out for a game, and Maffa killed it, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Absolutely.
Had a huge game. I think that was against Notre Dame, 36 carries, 186 yards, and 2 touchdowns against a top 25 team. And, man, at 6'1", 230 pounds, this dude is just massive. He's, you know, built to run for sure. Almost 1,000 yards last year with 13 touchdowns, and he wasn't even considered the starter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to pass up on a guy like that that was that successful, who, again, wasn't even listed as the starting running back.
Yeah. What a beast. That's a really good pick there. I like Maffa. He was the 8th running back off the board, and then we go with a couple more running backs as we get closer to the end of round 2 there. Devin Neal for Kansas and Ishmael Mahdi at Texas State. Both great picks, both proven guys. You know, we get a lot of the, you know, you like that. You want the proven commodities there in those first couple rounds. You want to minimize your risk there early in the draft, for sure. And then wide receiver 9 goes Egbuka for Ohio State there, which is an interesting one. You know, we've seen Egbuka go as the top wide receiver off the board from Ohio State. That's not really a surprise, you know, coming off Harrison being great, JSN being great, Garrett Wilson being great in terms of fantasy production at Ohio State. So with Harrison gone, it's not surprising that Egbuka is going up there. I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. He'll be the touchdown guy there. I much prefer to wait on a Carnell Tate like later in the draft, or even a Jeremiah Smith, who could and very well likely will be a starter really early at Ohio State with his size coming out, even though he's a true freshman.
So we're only going to cover through the end of the second round on this because we could go on forever on this. And
true. Yes.
You know, yeah. We're only going to cover through the end of the second round. And then we have a couple of questions that we have from looking at the rest of the draft, and then we're going to move on. So right now we've got pick 11, overall 23. You got running back 11th taken from Kansas State. You got DJ Giddens. What do you guys think about DJ Giddens there?
I'm surprised, honestly, again, he didn't go higher. For real. I was, like I said, when I picked Baxter, I was torn between him and Giddens. They do have a running quarterback, but Giddens is, I mean, he's got the potential to be a freak, so.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot. At RB 11, that's great, great value. And then same with Damian Martinez there to wrap up round two.
Yeah, Damian Martinez, Pafeli Ashlock, even though he's the first pick of the third round, two of my guys that I've been high on. Martinez, I really think he's going to have a huge year at Oregon State. Ashlock, I think it's very interesting, and I just want to make one quick comment about Hawaii. Especially in the last couple of years, if you pick somebody from Hawaii, you need to be very, very careful about when you pick them and what their usage is going to be, because Hawaii, more than any other team, and I think the statistics would agree with me on this, Hawaii is so much better of a team at home than they are on the road, that Ashlock had sometimes he just absolutely disappeared. And most of the time, you're going to see those players disappear when they're making that big trek all the way from the islands to the mainland. So be very careful when you are picking a Hawaii player and know what you're getting into, especially when they're playing away games. All right. So that is the first two rounds there. So we do have a couple of questions to talk about. And this is going to go across more than just these first two rounds. So the first one is, guys, what pick surprised you the most? It could be a pick that was too high. It could be a steal. It could be a sleeper. What surprised you most? Doug, we're going to start with you there.
So I kind of already mentioned it, so I won't get into it too much, but Salter being the number one quarterback off the board at three surprised me. And then my heartbreak is Harrison Whaley, RB51. Oh, it breaks my heart so much because I've been counting on this guy, you know, in fantasy for years. And, yeah, it's being RB51 is kind of like a jab right to my heart. So, and then you got one that surprised me that he lasted this long. Honestly, Brian picked him at 185 was Relique Brown, going to another team to be literally the starting running back. So,
well, getting, no, Scatterbo's back. He'll
stay. Scatterbo back now.
Scatterbo will be back, but we'll see how he's used in that offense. Like, he could get a ton of catches.
Could be, yeah. Just, he could be the slot guy for sure, because we know he's trained on that for sure. But
yeah,
but being 185, I think that's going to be potential really high upside getting somebody that late. And then Mark Fletcher, a guy that I know, you know, Brian likes a lot, being RB58, especially with the news 3 days ago that Parrish is transferring out. And now Cristobal saying just 2 days ago that he expects Fletcher to be ready for the start of camp. Like, that could be – drafting him at RB58 could be huge. So,
yeah. Yeah. And for me, like, Judkins going so high, he went in round five. You know, it is weird when you go from – if you think back this time last year, he's RB1 for everyone. Like, going into the year, he had his breakout year. He was incredible at Ole Miss. And then they passed it a little bit more, and he transfers out, goes to Ohio State, where he's not the best running back on that team. Like, the best running back goes in round eight, eight or nine in this draft, Travion Henderson. So I don't like the value necessarily of Judkins at round five. Like, I think he's more of there's just only so many balls to go around in that offense, so it's a stay away situation for me, unless, like in this case, Travion Henderson falls to let me see. So like round eight, yeah. But the other one was LeQuint Allen. Like, I like his potential this year. Better, way better than RB 26. So I think it was incredible value there in round five. He's, you know, a three down back for sure. Great hands. And then you pair that with Schrader out and a statue quarterback coming in to take over that starting role. It should be more balls his direction. And that schedule, while their over under win total is only like 3.5, like a schedule's not full of defenses that are going to scare you away from starting LeQuint Allen almost every single week.
So looking at that that mock, there was a few guys that really stood out to me. LaShante Wester in round six, pick 65, seems surprising.
Agreed.
I think one of the things that was the most surprising, thinking back to our CFB Dynasty open draft last year, was seeing Aronde Gadsden at pick 77 after being a round 1-2 guy last year. Everybody wanted to get their hands on him because he was going to be one of those guys that was such a – you got your hand on one of those top 2-3 tight ends, and the gap between them and the rest was so massive. Yeah. I think that people are concerned – where is he going to be in his injury recovery? But to see him at 77 was just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best picks in the draft.
But I was going to say, to me, we talk about this so many times, somebody that can, you know, extend your points as, you know, compared to other players on position, Aronde Gadsden could be that guy. And for him to get picked at 77 could be a super big steal for sure.
Yeah, for him to be relisted as tight end is a huge advantage for anybody that's got him. So shout out Gordy Miller.
And Nick Singleton from Penn State being round eight, pick 90. Seems like that's a high value. I didn't look to see what running back number he was, but I feel like if he's at that point, he is far undervalued at that pick 90. And then my last one is Will Shepard. Will Shepard going from Vanderbilt to Colorado. He's going to be a big-time baller out there. And in a, I believe it's going to be a much-improved Colorado offense with all the offensive linemen that they brought in out there and all the other returning skill position players. So Will Shepard in round 11 at pick 127, I'm like, man, if that was a real draft and you're going to be playing with those teams, I feel like you get to the end of the season, and everybody's going to look at that draft and be like, man, you got yourself a steal by getting Will Shepard that late in the draft.
Yes, yeah. Totally agree there. Those two guys, it's going to be interesting to see how Travis Hunter kind of mixes in and how many snaps he plays at receiver. But that offense with those collection of receivers will not miss a beat. I agree. I think they're going to be better with a better offensive line. Hopefully, they can get some kind of running attack going.
All right, so that's going to be the end of us taking a look at that 12-team standard draft. You can go up and you can do your own research. You can go up to the CFB Dynasty website, as BMX said earlier. That's going to be a free article. You can go and look at mock drafts. But now we're going to move on to the draft that just BMX took part in. It is a two quarterback best ball league. So BMX, I'm going to give you a two-prong question. For those of you watching that don't know what best ball is, BMX, explain to them what best ball is, and then let everyone know what your approach, how it differed going from the 12-team standard draft to your 12-team best ball two quarterback draft.
Yeah, so best ball is just a draft only. There's no roster movement whatsoever. Your players like that you draft is typically like a big roster. So like in a two quarterback best ball, every week it'll just automatically, you'll get the best 2 points from your quarterbacks that week. You'll get the best two running backs, the best three receivers, the best flex. So the big difference in strategy here is that you're going to want to take boom type of players. You want high upside kind of guys who can break out like whatever Darius Taylor did with 33 touches. He's more of an every down starter, but you might take late in the draft, you might take a clear backup in case the running back ahead of him gets hurt. But one of my main strategies going into the draft and kind of how it fell was locking up position battles. So like an example would be at quarterback at TCU. very productive in that system in terms of fantasy, but we're not sure yet who's going to be the starter, if it's going to be Josh Hoover, who is kind of projected to be the starter at this point, but it's still early, and they had a senior transfer in, Ken Seals from Vanderbilt. So if Seals kills it and wins that job, I locked him up late in the draft to kind of, you know, handcuff myself into the TCU quarterback. And I did the same with Oregon, just in case something happens to Gabriel, who's been hurt once or twice in his career. I went ahead and grabbed Dante Morris with my last pick to make sure I had that Oregon quarterback locked up as well. So a little bit different take than a standard league, but for the most part, you know, it's fantastic to be able to see the little differences and see how people drafted. And honestly, it threw me off in the first round. We'll talk about that in a second.
So B-Mac, why don't you call out? I know you said that this mock had some guys that are pretty known in the college fantasy football world. So why don't you call out some of these guys you have listed here?
Yeah. So Bainbridge at the CFF site hosted it. Mike Bainbridge. We've talked a bit in the past over the years, and great guy, Michigan guy. So he hosted it with the CFF site, and John Lobb, who we've talked about and whatnot, he's on there. Kevin DuBois _22 on Twitter. So we've got all of these guys with their Twitter profile links, so you can check them out too. Jared, who we talked about earlier, Froton, Chris K, Andrew Katz, who we've talked with in the past. Same with Justin over at Insider CFF, CFF Champ, CFF Guys, and Greg Rant at Devi Warehouse. So all of those guys are linked to there. So it's fun. It's one of those where, hey, this influences me a little bit, to be honest. Like, I have a lot of respect for all of these guys and their research, and we all kind of have our own flavor, our own take on different things. And those guys are smart. They do great work. And so, yeah, certainly these will help influence the CFB Dynasty rankings as well.
Yeah, and I think too, one of the differences, just looking at who's in here, you could go into, a lot of us play pro fantasy football. I mean, everybody that plays college is playing pro as well, most likely. And we're in some drafts that are just, you know, online leagues. And there's probably going to be a few people in those leagues that are complete duds. They're just there. They have no idea what they're doing. And you could be like, you know what? Maybe two or three of these guys are going to make a not so fresh pick, and I might be able to slide by. You see a group of guys like this in your draft, you're not sliding by on anything. These guys are intelligent. They know their stuff. So B-Mac, I feel like, without putting words in your mouth, you're like, I need to be prepared in this thing so that I don't get embarrassed, so I can show I'm at the same level as these guys from a knowledge base, from a prep base. So that kind of puts you in a different spot when you're going into this draft.
Yeah, there's a level of that where you don't want to make an embarrassing pick or whatever. But also, it is March, so there's a lot of things to change. And is a $5 best ball. So I like that. I think Bainbridge does it the right way, where you put in a little bit of money, so everyone is definitely paying attention. But without the money, yeah, you got my full attention, certainly with this crew. So like right off the bat, so unless you had anything else to cover.
No, I think that the one thing that we wanted to call out is just, if you look at this now, if you go to the website right now, the positions aren't listed on the article. We were trying to get it up really quick before we went live on the podcast. But if you look at some of those names, we covered many of them in the previous podcast, you see a lot more quarterbacks that are higher on the list than they were in the other draft. You see a lot fewer wide receivers at the top of this list than you did in the other drafts. B-Mac, why do you think it is that you see so few wide receivers at the top in comparison to the quarterbacks and running backs in this best ball?
Well, I'll blame our boy Andrew with the first pick. He goes Caden Salter, which I just kind of assumed it'd be Jenty and then Gordon, like everything else. But with that pick, I was like, so I haven't been, this is my first two quarterback draft of the year. And I was thinking, oh man, I'm sitting there at six. Byron Brown is who I was hoping would fall to me. Yeah, because of his dual threat ability, rushing, touchdowns, all that stuff. Doug said 200 plus carries in his first year as the full-time starter. And then he got drafted right before me, and I'm sitting there at pick six. And I feel like I've reached a little bit going Gabriel, and I do regret this pick. Like, I wish I would have taken Horton just like I did in that last draft, because I thought, like, at that point, I didn't know. I thought quarterbacks were trending to go off the board way faster, and I didn't want to get stuck in a two-quarterback league coming around to my next pick and have, you know, either way, you're going to have some good options, but I wanted to have a couple top guys that I could rely on really good points week in and week out. I'm not saying Gabriel is a bad pick there, but if I had a chance to do it over, Froton next pick goes Horton, which my heart sunk a little bit. I wish I had immediate regret there. So I kind of had to try and make up for that over the draft, but Gabriel do good.
So Doug, you know how every year in the NFL draft, there'll be somebody that slips in the draft and then they'll go and call out, you know, I got drafted at 28. I'm calling out the other 27 teams that messed that passed on me, and I've got you on my list. So when you look at this draft, I want to know what you would say to all these owners, your guy that you picked first in that 12-team draft, said Baxter, goes 26th in this draft. What do you think about all these guys that went 25 picks before they picked said Baxter from Texas? What do you have to say to call these fellas out?
Oh, man. Again, these guys are super knowledgeable. They put a lot of work into this too. And it's tough. So I like Cedric Baxter a lot. But when you get past, again, and I'm kind of being the devil's advocate here. So when you get past the first two guys, the running back points differential to me is not that much of a gap. Like, these guys are pretty close. So you can get a Jaden Ott above, like, some people would rank him above Baxter. Some people would not. I mean, it's so close. Where we have our projections at between a lot of these guys after the first two, that I don't fault anybody for where they rank these guys, to be honest with you.
But, so what you're saying is you're going to give a reverse call out, and you are going to be the guy that's going to pat everybody on the back and say, it's okay, guys, I believe in you, and it's okay. Are we going to have to change your name to hashtag nice guy Doug? What's going on here, man?
So, I mean, for this question, yeah, I'm going to be the hashtag nice guy Doug, because, again, these running backs to me are so close this year. There's not many after, you know, Ginty and Gordon that just stand out above the rest to me. So I think they're all just super close.
I love the pick by Bainbridge. I think that's I think Mike got a steal there. Third round going with Baxter, man, that's killer. I think that's really great. So it's hard, like Doug said, it's hard when you've got like a tier there where you've got Devin Neal, you've got Giddens who go ahead of him, Taj Brooks and Jaden Ott go ahead of him, Damian Martinez goes a pick ahead of him. So I don't think it's a big deal, But I do love the pick. I think he gets great value there. And I think Jared with the next pick with Ashlock going next is really great too. I really need to add in the positional rankings of when they got picked in this version of the draft like I did the other one. So you can see that it's whatever, RB6 or whatever it is. But Egbuka going in round one, I don't love that pick. For all the reasons I talked about before.
You got to keep in mind, too, they have a running quarterback there now.
Yeah, well. Yeah, that's going to change everything. Like, everything in Ohio State, questionable for me in terms of fantasy value. Other than quarterback, like, I think he's got a chance there, Will Howard, to be really great. But otherwise,
BMAC, let's take a look. What are some picks that you felt were surprises? What are some picks that made you jealous that happened in this draft?
So, other than Andrew surprising me at one and throwing off my whole draft, I'll say Kyren Drones is one. Justin takes after he took Egbuka, Drones like threw me off quite a bit, where it sent me into a research mode. Like, all right, that was a pick where I need to make sure I've done my homework, because we at the time didn't have him ranked all that high. And this is one of those where it resulted in me making some changes. Like Drones, in terms of dual threat ability for a team, like when we talk about teams trending up, Virginia Tech is one of those teams trending up if you're not paying attention to them, where he goes, like, you know, the last game against Tulane is a bit of a misnomer. I think that was a total downpour. So he only threw for 91 yards and two touchdowns, but he also ran 20 times for 176 yards and another touchdown on the ground. And he gets about 10 carries a game, sometimes more. But also, like, he's thrown for against UVA 240 yards and three touchdowns, NC State 225 yards and three touchdowns, Boston College two more touchdowns through the air. They got crushed by Louisville, where he didn't have the best game at all. But otherwise, Drones breakout, kind of broke out last year, but like he'll be a known quarterback in the CFF game. He changed my opinion. I love the pick, Kyren Drones there in the second round, earlier than I would have expected. Some of those other quarterbacks I would have definitely expected to go ahead of him, but Justin, kudos to you making me do the research a bit there. And I like Drones.
All right, so who are some picks that made you jealous today? Jealous in that draft?
All right, so John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, you know, he did a really good job taking talent, but what he did on the end of round 5 and 6, I don't know that you could get two more talented players in those rounds. Zachariah Branch at USC, you know, a pass-heavy offense with a new quarterback taking over who's going to run, I think, less than Caleb Williams did. Not that Caleb Williams ran a lot, but he's still a little bit of a dual threat kind of guy. Branch is freaking incredible. So this pick there, I absolutely loved it. Could be wide receiver one, could have a big time breakout season, as well as Nick Singleton, who has shown the talent, has split the carries so far in his career. And we kind of expect that to continue, but they have a new OC coming in this year. Things are going to change in that offense. Drew Aller should be better. Maybe they favor Singleton a little bit more. Maybe they use him more in the passing game. The talent there that he gets with Branch and Singleton, two players that I love. Yeah, it made me jealous. I was crushing on John Lobb's picks a little bit there for sure. Wester in round 7 was another one. You talked about him in the last draft. I agree. Could have a monster year. I think 108 catches last year, and going to a great, great potential passing offense. Lob again, Kyren Lacy, round 9, great pick. And then round 12, Kanye Roberts. Sorry, loved that pick in round 12. He could break out this year and be App State's go-to guy, but we'll see. We'll see if he wins that job outright. But those are some picks there that I was crushing on a little bit.
All right, so BMAC, you had one last thing you wanted to cover real quick before we wrap up the mock draft discussion. You wanted to specifically call out your best ball QB strategy when it comes to position battles.
Oh, we did hit that in the intro, though, so we've got that covered. And,
okay, cool.
Yeah, you can go down to the last pick. This was 35 rounds long of crazy goodness. But yeah, my last few rounds, I was taking handcuffs to make sure I get top quarterback passing offenses kind of locked up in case of injury or in case of a position battle change.
BMAC, 35 rounds. How long did it take you guys to complete that draft?
6 days or so, I think.
That's actually not bad. That's actually not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like, Jared and Mike did a great job kind of moving everybody along.
All right, so there you have it. That is our podcast on looking at some of the initial mock drafts this year, a couple of different mock drafts. Just a reminder, our rankings are all up on the website. There will be some changes. There will be some call outs that'll happen from time to time as the off season and the as we lead up and we build up towards the 2024 season happen. We'll try to make sure you guys know when any kind of major movement happens in there and why that happens. Doug, BMAC, anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to talk about real quick before we get the heck out of here for today?
Man, I think we covered it, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to get together. We'll go over some ranking stuff, make some adjustments, and keep you guys in the loop on the Discord first. And maybe we'll actually share some things out on social media. We'll see.
So coming up every time we have a show, there might be something, there's a current event that we might want to throw in there. But one of our next planned shows is going to be super fun, everybody. We're going to be talking about the video game. And we're going to be talking about who we predict is going to be, who they think the top 10 quarterbacks are going to be. Then we're going to say who we think they probably are going to leave out of the top 10 and why we think that's probably going to be a travesty of justice for them to leave them out.
I can't wait for the video game. I don't know how my life's going to change. Like before the video game, or went back when the video game existed and came out every year, that was too big of a part of my life, I will say.
Yes, I agree. Me too. I'm one of the guys that would rename every one of my players to a fictional name. Everyone, and I would get a relationship with those guys, and I would hate having to cut some random dude that I rename. I don't think that that's what's going to happen now. Yes, it is. Come on now. We know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to get in Dynasty modes with all of y'all guys. It's going to be fun.
All right, everybody. So on behalf of BMAC and Doug, my name is Matt Knowles. Make sure you go out and follow CFB Dynasty on all the socials at CFB Dynasty. Have fun watching some March Madness college basketball. And don't forget, why not us? Let's go NC State. And let's go Gators for BMAC and Doug. Let's go Gators. And let's see if we can all meet in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, let's go. All right, see you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the CFB Dynasty podcast. Help us out by subscribing on YouTube and reviewing us on your podcast network.